Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 485 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we talk about Sarah Rule's play for Peter Pan on her 70th birthday, which continues our coverage of the 40th Humana Festival of New American Plays, hosted by Actors Theatre of Louisville. And we have a special guest in this week. We have artistic director Les Waters, who directed Sarah's play. So we're going to get into the conversation with Les just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the gutter,
all play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny,
but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Alright, so I'm joined by Les Waters, Artistic Director of Actors Theater of Louisville, and Director of Sarah Rule's play for Peter Pan on her 70th birthday. So, welcome.
Thank you for
having me back, and again, kudos on a very successful year of Humana Festival.
Thank you very much.
So we'll talk about Sarah's play first. I really I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and watching your director's style and stuff. It was. I'm sitting there going, okay. So I've seen him with the Christians deal with someone who's tethered and literally can't walk around very long. And then I've seen the Mad Red Glory of the World, where everything was silent and then chaotic and explosive. And so it started off, and I was, and you know, the very kind of opening monologue, and then the first scene, they're in the hospital, and you know, and I'm going, oh, okay, so this is Les as a, I don't know, not normal play, but you know, a typical sort of character driven, and then the band comes in and it goes from there, which was outstanding.
Right.
So, what was the? I mean, and I'm glad I'll jump ahead. I like that Peter Pan flew. I figured you can't have a play with the character Peter Pan and not have
Peter Pan and Wendy fly.
Yes, yep. I mean that's a given, right?
I mean,
that's like Desdemona has to die at the end of Othello. So, what was the process of going through working with this play this time around?
It was huge fun. I mean, huge fun, and it's an extraordinary cast. There's, you know, about 150 years of extraordinary acting experience on that stage. It was good. You know, we always knew in part three that Peter and Wendy would fly. So that was a kind of big technical issue that we dealt with. And that parts one and two of the play are more, for me, more realistic than something I've done in a long while. I mean, they're a family drama, and part one is in a hospital room where the siblings five siblings are assembled because their father's dying. And part two, you know, it's like you sit around the dining room table in the family house and drink and reminisce about your parents. And then part three would jump to kind of, in some way, a kind of alcohol-fueled dream of performing Peter Pan in Davenport, Iowa in 1955 with your siblings playing the different roles. But nobody can quite remember the plot and nobody can really do it anymore because it's sort of easier to fly when you're 20
right.
than what it's like when you're in your 60s.
Right.
And then there were kind of jumps in the piece, you know, that we would just snap it out of one scene into another. So at the end of part one, the siblings sing When the Saints Come Marching Home, and you know, and then we just put a marching band in there to take it somewhere else before it returns
right.
to a kind of realism.
No, was that the local high school band?
There are four, I think there are four or five rotating high school bands
nice.
Going through it.
That's outstanding. Yeah, I mean, again, I was right on there and it's like, oh, this is nice. Because again, part one, which leads to part two, is again instantly relatable.
Yep.
You know, if we haven't gone through it with our parents, it's been with our, you know, for me, it was my uncle.
Right.
Right, but everybody has done that waiting and hoping, but not wanting to let go kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've done the wake at the end. So, and I love the fact that the dad kind of wanders through.
In part two? Yes. I mean, when somebody the other day said to me that part two was very realistic, and I was saying, well, sort of, but there's a recently
major detail there, right?
Yes, there's a recently deceased father wandering through that they can't see, who has just gone, after dying in hospital, has just gone home,
right?
You know, and is back in the house and is that the siblings know, you know, are drinking into the night, and the father's actually back at the beginning of a day and getting his breakfast ready.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that, you know, the choreography of this one sibling gets up to do somewhere else, where the father comes and sits down and does whatever he does with the grapefruit or whatever, and then gets up and the other one comes down.
Yep.
The focus of with all the wonderful experience there, but the focus of the actors being able to really solidify this is our reality and what happens over here?
Yep.
So the moment the pretzels or whatever fell,
So
not only that, but you had to cast a dog. How was the dog auditions?
I didn't do the dog auditions.
Right. Well, Zan did
the dog auditions and just brought in these fabulous dogs who were then like, can you do this? But dogs can do...
I was amazed.
Most anything if you have food in your hand, you'll spill it on the floor.
Very, very simple, yeah. So I guess the one I saw was the deerhound or the wolfhound. I can't remember.
Oh, the Irish wolfhound, Watson.
So they're all different types of dogs?
There are three different types of dogs.
I just, because we were coming from the hotel.
Right.
And I guess they were out back walking him around. So. Right. Oh, wow. And I talked to Evans and said, I love those type of dogs.
Yes.
There's a wonderful breed, you know. And it really didn't totally. Here's a guy walking the dog, you know.
Right.
So to see him later come on stage, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So what has been the. And then when you get into part three, when we're in Peter Pan land.
Right.
Kudos again to costume and set design and everything, because it was the book, basically.
Yes.
You know, like the picture, it was like, wow, they fit right in there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So of all the kind of the levels of this play, what's the one that kind of reaches out to you that you think is going to stay with you for a while?
Oh, I'm fast approaching 64. So Passage of Time, you know. where did the young version of me go? And the, you know, the conversations in the play about, are you a grown up? Did you, or if you think you're a grown up, when did that happen?
Right.
I don't think I'm there. I mean, sometimes I think I'm there, and then I think this is vastly overrated.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. I liked the fact that they did have the kind of that moment of buying back into being Peter Pan and Wendy and everything. And then kind of the acceptance, maybe, of the reality of they have to go back.
Because
they do have family and they do have children that they want to spend time with.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. So, I mean, that really was very successful for me because I'm like, yes, of course. Well, you know, you've given this opportunity, but at some point you...
Yeah, you have to go home to life.
Yeah, you do have to grow.
You have to go back to this thing that you think is, that's my life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I direct plays, but my life is, you know, I'm the father of three children who are now grown up. And that's my life, and that's my obligation.
And I have a son of 10, so...
Congrats.
Yes. I was just telling Stephen beforehand, I was... Right now, I'm still his buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and I know in a couple of years, I'll be the stupid one in the living room.
Oh, and then you turn into his jailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun bit.
I'm not looking forward to that, but... Yeah. So, speaking of going through changes and evolving, a lot of things are changing here at Actors for the good, I guess, right? We've got Jennifer leaving and then Zan retiring. And
oh, yeah.
It's a change of...
It's big changes. I mean, Zan going is at loss, and Jennifer's headed to the... Well, Jennifer's at the Guthrie now, which is a fabulous opportunity. But no, it's a time of change.
So is that exciting? Is it nerve-wracking?
Or? Well, it's nerve-wracking. But it's also great. I mean, I actually really like change. Mm. It doesn't frighten me. But I, you know, do I miss the two of them? Yeah.
Of course, yeah, right, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, it's let's see what happens next.
Well, outstanding. Well, again, across the board, you know, I enjoyed the plays and enjoyed the production value, and I really appreciate all the hard work of everyone here.
Thank you.
And it's been a very successful...
Thank you very much.
Be proud of, again, obviously, of the work in the play, and then, of course, of overall. Do you have, as the director and then as the artistic director, do you have a moment of kind of satisfaction for each thing where you go, okay, it's here, we've done it. Is it all at the end, or do you have like a moment of...
No, there's a wonderful moment, like, that happened 2 weeks ago. I think it's 2 weeks ago. The time is so bendy doing this thing where we all six shows were up and running, and that's like a sense of achievement.
Right. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah! Use your name as your domain name. Check out Dreamhost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from Dreamhost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
So that's it. Although we were in our second week of coverage, again, I want to extend my thanks to all of the staff and of Actors Theatre Louisville. Thanks for a great weekend, and thanks for hosting me yet again. And it was a good fun, and I can't wait till next year. So with that being said, again, thank you to Les Waters for sitting down with me and having our annual conversation. So next week, we're going to focus on Wondrous Strange, which was the Apprentice Showcase for this year. So that's what we'll be talking about next week. Hey, if you got a thought about a play you saw at a Humana Festival this year, please share it with me by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282, or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @I, inexplicable D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings for the show via our Twitter feed. So again, next week we're going to talk about Wondrous Strange. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.